What a powerful song. Oh my goodness. That was amazing. Preamble. My body can't contain the way that I feel when we sing like that. That's why we've got to get a new one when we sing to the Lord in glory and we actually sing. We actually are in Revelation chapter 5 ourselves. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Matthew 15. We're in Mark 7 as well. We'll flip back through, but go if you open to Matthew 15. And the title of this morning's message is A Mother's Prayer. A Mother's Prayer. Abraham Lincoln said, "No one is poor who had a godly mother." On Mother's Day card with a picture of a little boy, all unkempt, smudges on his face, dirt. And on the front of the card it said, "Mum, I remember that little prayer you used to say for me every day." Opening the card, it went on to complete the little boy's sentence. "God help you if you ever do that again." Matthew and Mark both tell us that this was Jesus' only visit to this locality. Let's read the scripture and then this will all fit in. Let's read Matthew 15, verse 21-29. "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon." Now, Tyre and Sidon is modern-day Lebanon. So he's headed from Capernaum, Sea of Galilee, and he's headed north, right to the border, actually gone over the border into Lebanon. When you and I travel to Israel in January, we'll go to the very border of Lebanon. We'll stand in the troops' trenches and look at Lebanon, and Syria is just to the right. I pray that you can come with us to Israel because it will change the way that you read the Bible forever. It will give you a love for the people of Israel that you'll not understand because they are God's people and God will touch your heart. And when you go to Israel, you'll feel home there because this is the land where our Lord walked. And it's going to be, Jerusalem is going to be the capital of the world. No matter what Iran and Russia and everybody else says, Jerusalem will remain and always be the Jewish capital, and it's going to be the very place that Christ will rule and reign in the book of Revelation for 1,000 years. So I encourage you to come and join with us for a look into the future. "Behold, a woman of Canaan," so she lived in that area, "came from that region and cried out to Jesus, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter," notice, "is severely demon-possessed." Often we've read, "My son is demon-possessed." This mum says, "My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Jesus doesn't answer a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." The disciples are really good, aren't they? Remember when the kids wanted to come? "Let's get these kids out of here. These are the disciples whom Jesus loved. Oh, they're perfect, aren't they?" They said, let's send her away. But Jesus answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Matthew and Mark, Mark 7, Matthew 15, both tell us that this was Jesus' only visit to this locality, Tyre and Sidon, Phoenicia, Gentile country, modern Lebanon. And it probably surprises his disciples, why are we walking all the way and now we're crossing into the border to Lebanon? Why are we going here, Lord? There's definitely no friends here in Lebanon for us. Why leave the crowds, the masses of crowds, when we'd fed the 15,000 to seek an audience among strangers? What's going on? Why are we here? But somewhere in this area, there was a Gentile mother, alone and with a great need. She had a little daughter, a little girl, who required attention, desperate help, really. The little girl was possessed by an evil spirit, severely demon-possessed, verse 22. And she, as a mother, ears strained, had heard about this man, this rabbi called Jesus. Now remember, she's Canaanite. She's not Jewish. That had delivered others of spirits. Remember back in Capernaum, all around that area, everyone that had brought their sick to Jesus, he was healing them all. And the message had sifted up, even across the border into Lebanon. Everyone that they brought to Jesus, he healed them all. She was from Canaan. She's a pagan, an outcast to the Jewish society. Mark tells us that Jesus is in a house resting when she comes. It's been a long journey in John's gospel, in another strange hike to an unusual location, Samaria. John tells us that Jesus rests there in Samaria at a well. Why did he go all this way? Because he was tired. But he had a meeting with a woman at a well. Jesus is tired, but he has a meeting with a woman in Cana, of Cana in Lebanon. You see, the thing that is amazing is that no matter where you are, mothers, how much you're crying, you think, no one knows about my situation in my family, in my house, with my husband, with my children, with my grandchildren, and they may be in another country all over, away from you. God hears your every prayer. His ear is tuned to mothers. This Gentile woman, this mother, finds Jesus. He happens to be in the locality. Coincidence. You know, it's interesting that mums always find a way. So the first point is in a mother's prayer and a mother, godly mother, is only found at Jesus' feet. Mark tells us in verse 25 that when she finds Jesus at this house, she falls at Jesus' feet. Let me read it to you. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. This is the place for all mothers. All mothers. For it is at Jesus' feet that you truly become a godly mother. It's not in a program. It's not in a lesson book. The place that you become a godly mother is at the feet of Jesus alone. It is at his feet that you as a mother will nourish and care for your children like no other time. You think, well, it's in the kitchen and it's, you know, sewing and ironing and cleaning. No, no, no. The nourishment for your child, for your grandchildren, for your stepchildren, is when you are at the foot of Jesus and you are bringing them to him. you are then the channel through which God is now going to nourish your family. It is at His feet you show your love for your children every day. You bring them to God every day. In Mark 7:26, she begs Jesus to cast out the devil from her little girl. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. She didn't just ask once. She was asking over and over and over and over. The language tells us, and this is why the disciples said, let's just get rid of her. She's driving us mad. She won't shut up about her daughter. And she just, Jesus is tired, and she just keeps on asking and asking and asking. New Living Translation says, and she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter, since she was a Gentile born in Syrian Phoenicia. This mother's heart ached for her little girl. We don't know how far she traveled. We don't know how much money she had or didn't have. There's no one else with her. There's no husband with her. There's no family with her. This is her only child. Each time she saw her little girl, she knew because of what was happening to her little girl that no doctor could deliver the child. Maybe the little girl too, at times, she just wanted to be like the other little girls around her, but she couldn't because this terrible thing would happen to her. The daughter and the mother are both victims of circumstances over which they had no control. Our enemy is brutal. We live in a world that is brutal and violent. And it's because the god of this world, small g, is Satan. He now rules this world. He runs the show. Sin has the same power in families today as it did back then. But she had heard about this rabbi. Maybe this rabbi might help. She had heard that he'd cast out spirits from others. He might be willing to help her. She's a mother. She's going to try. She's going to find out. Nothing could get worse. She would go and she would beg on behalf of her daughter. She had nothing to lose by going to him. I have asked over many years when I've come across desperate people in desperate situations these words, would it be all right? May I pray for you? May I pray for this situation? And people, 100%, who have never been to church, people who have never read the Bible, their eyes well up with tears at those moments, in those situations, 100% of the time. And they're unable to speak when I say those words at that time. And they look at me and they, in a distressed manner, but they go, they nod because they're overwhelmed, because they know there's nothing else. We together, right in the middle of the intensive care room or in the waiting room, in the hospital, the other places, in the middle of their darkest hour, we go to God and pray. Mothers, I implore you, and everyone else, every man and woman and child in this room, I implore you at this time in our lives, at this stage in our world, in our history, that you will become men and women of prayer. Because the church has become prayerless and we've become powerless and we've become useless. Your marriage, your relationship with your son, with your daughter, with your mum, with your dad, if you aren't praying for it, it is in wreckage. It will remain something that the enemy will swoop on, ravage, and tear apart. And that's why the devil will keep you from prayer. Because prayer is the only thing that he must flee from. Because when we pray, God intervenes. And the strong man of the house is bound by he who is stronger. And God steps in. And he starts moving and placing and changing and shaping. And the position, the best physical activity you can ever be involved in any problem in your relationships, is on your knees, alone, in prayer. It is why the church has the same problems in relationships now as the world, because the church prays as much as the world does. It doesn't. I implore you to become people of prayer. It was the only thing that Jesus was asked by his disciples to teach them. Teach us, Lord, how to pray. Now, here's the funny thing is, she had nothing to lose by praying. I want to put that to you as well. You have nothing to lose about your situation by praying. But she had everything to lose by not praying. She had everything to lose by not going to Jesus and bringing her daughter in prayer. If you are tired of the life you are living, Christ came to open the door for you, not only to forgive us of our sins, but he came, and when he died on the cross, and his words were, "It is finished," the veil at the temple that kept the people, the common people, away from the very place, the mercy seat of God, was torn. It's now to allow you to go boldly into that place and talk to God directly and pray the greatest prayer that I have prayed, that she has prayed. We've repeated it again. What is the greatest prayer that you can ever pray? What is the best prayer you can ever pray? Lord, help me. Don't go into great, great. You don't have to. He knows already our hearts. But I have prayed, God, help me, over and over and over. And I know I will pray those same words again and again and again and again. You know why? Because that prayer reaches God. Step two. In a mother's prayer, she intercedes. She didn't have the pedigree. She wasn't Jewish. She didn't know all the ceremonies, the celebrations. She hadn't been to Jesus before. She at this time did not know anything about the all-embracing love of God, the God of Israel. She probably did things that were not right, like others. Some of you think, well, you know, I'm here today, or God won't ever listen to me because, you know, I'm a sinner. Well, he listens to sinners, because how do sinners get saved? We were told that question in Bible college. Go away. Tell me, does God listen to the prayers of sinners? We had to come back with our response as Bible students. Of course he does. How else can a sinner get saved? Matthew tells us she cried out in her best prayer voice and manner. And she did it Jewish, even though she was Canaanite. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." She knows nothing about Jesus, about this. "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." She's trying. Well, this is what I think. This is how I need to get to him. "O Lord, thou son of David, This was Jewish ground this Gentile woman was walking on. It was a Jewish title for Jesus. She wasn't Jewish, but she was a mother. But Son of David was a name for the Messiah of God. She came to him on Jewish terms. And what did Jesus say to her? Nothing. Silence. The silence of God is an interesting thing when you pray. Well, Keith, I have prayed. Yeah? I heard nothing. What did you do? I stopped. The silence of God is a time and a situation where God is allowing things to happen before he responds to your prayer. The silence of God means you continue to pray because there's probably the things that are going to change in your life where you'll eventually pray the way that you need to pray. Prayer is not about me getting my will with God. Prayer is about me changing to go along with what God's will is for my life. But he answers her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Well, send her away, Lord," she cries, "after us." He doesn't answer her. But Jesus knew her heart, because we know that the Bible tells us that God is a God of love, that he is love. So what is this? Why is Jesus being this way? Listen, he's not being rude. And his silence was an encouragement for her to come how she needed to come, as a mother, to continue asking. Mark 8:35 says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it." In Revelation 22, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him that hears say, "Come." Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Come as you are, whosoever. Jesus didn't want her to simply respond, "Come," and "Thou Son of David," okay, your daughter's healed, bang, off she goes. Nothing more, nothing more. You see, God isn't just in the healing of her daughter. There's a whole lot more here. It's the same as the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. Why did Jesus stop? Why didn't he just keep going? "Well, she's healed. That's good. That's done." No. Healing is not, because she's going to grow old and die anyway. Because he wanted her, the older woman, to know who he was. It's more. It's called relationship. In verse 23, the disciples chime in here to help. "Get rid of her." They tell her to go away. Please note this morning, mothers, there will always be well-meaning people, Job's counselors, Job's comforters. Whenever you are being wooed by God, whenever you are starting to turn to God, whenever you need to go to God, who will try to say, "Don't bother praying. It's done. You need to be doing this and this and this." There's always someone. You know, it's interesting how we always have advice for everybody else's problems, but not our own. You ever notice that? That the person at work who's had relationship after relationship after relationship is always the font of all knowledge for a relationship. "Well, you know what you should do. Like my other three husbands, you should just get rid of them." It's like a woman that rang me one day, seriously. She said, "Oh, I've heard you do weddings, and I like the way you do weddings." She said, "So could you do our wedding?" I said, "Well, actually, I don't know the person, don't know you, so we need to do some counseling." And I was trying to sort of see more about it. She said, "Oh, I don't need counseling. I've been married 5 times before. I know all about it." You knew all about it, all right. You see, there will be times that your friends will tell you it's a waste of time praying for your son. It's a waste of time praying for your granddaughter. When it looks like God isn't going to help us, our faith is really tested. It is then that the Lord allows us to see and to show us and to reveal to ourselves what we're really made of. Our mask comes away in those times of testing when he's been silent. And the real you is revealed. Well, I tried Christianity, I tried praying, didn't work. Well, there's the real you. You're a fake. You didn't try it. Didn't work for you because you weren't even connected. Do you just pray once for something and then give up? Or are you faithful and persistent in prayer no matter how the circumstances look? If you are the person who continues to pray no matter what you see, what you hear, eventually you will see a miracle. God will do something that will amaze you. But you see, the prayer of a mother is not easily put off. This mother wasn't, oh, that's it, I'll move. Jesus responds to the woman now allegorically. Try saying that carefully. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Wow, is he difficult? What, did Jesus not have his eggs in the morning, or what's going on? Now notice what she does after that verse, verse 25. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Ha, things are changing. Things are changing. She's changing. But he answered and said, now notice this. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. You're calling me a dog? You see, I hear people, they get so uppity about everything. So fly off the handle. Now, Jesus, in speaking of children here, is referring to the children of Israel, the Jews. In speaking of bread, he is referring to himself. He's the bread of life. In speaking of dogs, the Greek language here is the love family puppy dog that families had at home, their pet dog at home. Verse 25, a mother's prayer is persistent and patient. The patience and persistence of this Gentile mother we must admire. She now prays the perfect prayer. It is this prayer which is always answered. No titles. Jesus, thou son of David. No Jewish terms. No religious words. Lord, help me. She comes as a mother seeking help for her little girl. This is the heart of prayer and the prayer of a heart seeking God. Jesus replied, Jesus didn't call her a dog the way the Pharisees would have addressed the Gentile. Jesus doesn't play games of hard to get. God's not like that. In this instant, he wasn't trying to be difficult either. God's never difficult. He was drawing out of her a growing response of faith. He's helping her to grow. There was much more that Jesus wanted to give to this mother. He wanted to give her a whole lot more. She was changing because when you pray, you change. That's the amazing thing about prayer. I find that when I come on a Wednesday night, and I encourage you to come out Wednesdays, and I get on my knees and I pray, or I get alone with God and I pray, my will goes out the window. I start off praying in my will, and then it goes out the window because God's speaking. I go, oh, yes, Lord. And I just, because God changes you when you pray. If you really don't like who you are and you want to live more for God, I encourage you to pray, because in those times of prayer, you will change. To bring her faith to its fullest expression so she could serve you and I today, this Mother's Day, as an example. If he just healed her and she went home and the daughter was healed, we wouldn't be talking about her today. But because he there with this woman was drawing great faith out of her, you and I, 2,000 years later, are talking about a Gentile woman and her prayer. It's that far apart. Jesus knew this mother, this woman would touch you and I today, Mother's Day. This is why he answered her so. We're told in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are God's masterpiece, that he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he has planned for us long ago. There was a lot more for this woman to be able to do and to know beyond her dear daughter being healed. There's so much the more that God wants you to do and be involved in that he's created for you, a life to live, so much more than you just getting saved. That's why in this church, there are ministry opportunities that continue to open. My friends, they are open for you. There are situations and vacancies and ministries that are created in this church, not for you to just come and go. You can come and go as a spectator, but you're not really part of the church because the church is a place of living blocks. Connected together. And the Bible says in Corinthians that each and every one of us has a gift. And the gift is not for yourselves, but it's for everyone else in this room. Now, can you imagine if each and every one of you actually pinged that and realized that and said, what is my gift? I don't know what it is. God knows. That's for you to find out. And then you began to act in that gift. This church would charge in power and ministry like crazy. What has God planned for you? So we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. What has God planned for you? She immediately seized on Jesus' words. His illustration about the children's bread, which was exactly what Jesus wanted her to do. We may paraphrase it like this. It is true that we Gentiles do not sit at the table as children and eat the bread, but even the pet puppies, you see, these are the pet, this is the dogs under the table, they get some of the crumbs. And as she said that, she referred to herself as a puppy, a small dog, not very useful, but much loved. The puppy is loved. This was her confession. She was a mother who loved her little girl. And I picture as she responds to Jesus' words, verse 27. Notice what Jesus says in verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, oh woman, great is your faith. What a change. This is where Jesus was leading her. If he had just healed straight away, gone. She would have been a Gentile woman still living, daughter healed, no connection with God, no relationship with God, not touching our hearts today. Jesus would never have said to her, oh woman, great is your faith. But Jesus went through this thing because Jesus wanted to get to the very heart of a soul. I picture that as these words rolled from the mother's lips, Jesus smiling so warmly to her and nodding in agreement. Yes. Yep. Jesus never said, great is your faith, or great faith, once to his disciples. Never. He said these words to only one other person in the New Testament, the Roman centurion. Oh, never seen so great a faith. Not on all in Israel. Can you see why Jesus responded the way he did with this woman? He was changing her from a Canaanite into a godly mother. Jesus did love her. That's the only reason he went to this locality for her. And he would help her. Our case is never hopeless as long as we remember that God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know what? And he loves mothers indeed. Read through the Bible what God says of mothers, orphans. In Jesus' dying breath, there on the cross at Calvary, you remember Jesus commanded the apostle. Now he's dying for the sins of the world. He's been beaten, starved, mocked, beard plucked out, whipped, crucified. He's dying for the sins of the world. And what does he say? John, take care of my mum now. As if she was your own. He said to the disciple, here is your mother. And from then on, John 19, this disciple took Mary, her, into his home. On the cross, Jesus' mother. Finally, a mother's prayer is answered, verse 28. Jesus acknowledged her faith immediately and he healed her daughter. Jesus never commended any of his disciples for their great faith, but this Gentile mother he commended. What would Jesus say to us relative to our persistence in faith and prayer? If our prayers are answered partly based on our faith, is it any wonder that we don't see many miracles happening? But this mother's faith was great. Jesus said so. She persisted in asking and trusting. Remember her first response? He said nothing. Do you quit when God... Well, I prayed and God said nothing. Oh, there was a step two and a step three waiting for you. You missed it. Everything was against her. No mention of her husband. No one else with her. No other friends alongside. She's on her own. Her race. She's a Gentile. Syrophoenician. She was a woman. Even the disciples were against her. Even those close to Jesus said, get rid of her. Nothing going for her. But there was one more important and final step in this mother's prayer. She lets her actions follow in faith of Jesus' words and she runs home. She doesn't say, I know that you've said that, but you got to come. You got to come and you got to come with me to my daughter's bedroom. I know you've said it, but you have to come with me. You got to come home. I know you've said it, but you got to come with me. She's bad. Nope. She runs home. Hightails it. Mark tells us Jesus told her in the Greek language, go away, go. Head home. And she's of such great faith, she goes, yahoo, and bolts. Not, oh, but it's no proof. The mother didn't need anything else. She didn't say he had to come. She didn't say he had to see her daughter. He didn't tell her, well, you've got to do this. You've got to give me something, you know, something I can place on her or say something to her or throw something on her or put her in or wrap around her or something. Nothing. She runs home all the way. Can you imagine? Her running. She bursts into her little girl's bedroom, a place that was filled with memories and witnesses of torment, heartache, nights in the past, sadness, tears, grief, hopelessness. And she finds Mark 7:30 says, and she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. Oh, she's run all the way. Did the mother wake the child? We're not told. I think. Picture. The tears begin to flow down the mother's face. These weren't tears of sadness. No more. areas of worship. The Bible says that God captures every tear that falls from our eyes and puts them in a bottle. As she sat by her daughter's bed, who was asleep, and realized her little girl was completely delivered, I think she dropped to her knees again by the side of her daughter's bed, and I think she worshipped God. She had met Him face to face. She had heard God's voice. Jesus hears every mother's prayer. As one poet put, heaven came down and glory filled their souls. Was the time with Jesus the last time she prayed? You see, if He had healed her immediately and just done, gone, that would have been. Why bother? No need. Don't need to pray anymore. She's good. No, Jesus didn't want to just heal and gone. It wasn't the last time that she prayed. For surely that night in her daughter's room, kneeling by her little girl's bed, she would have been praying, I am certain, that this prayer would have been a prayer of thanks. How often do you thank God for your children? You know, we have babies born. We announced another one just the other day, other Sunday. People say, oh, God doesn't do miracles anymore. No, He's doing them. Sadly, your eyes have scales on them, and you just don't see what's going on. On Wednesday night, we pray over all the prayer cards, and there are miracles happening in this church all the time through prayer. But people aren't aware of them. She was. This prayer would have been a prayer of thanks, of absolute praise and honor to the one she now loved more than any other, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, truly was her Lord now, for healing my daughter. Thank you, Lord, for your great love to me, to hear my prayer, to come into my life and bring blessing to my family. That would have been her perpetual prayer. Mothers, this morning, this same Jesus who answered the prayer of this mother, He still answers the prayers of all mothers. Will you follow her example? Take your husband to the Lord in your prayers. Bring him. He won't come to church. He won't pray with you. But you can take him personally into the throne room of God and mention him by name before the God who loves you. Mothers, your children, a godly mother, nourishing, caring, raising your children. I want you to nourish and raise your child at the feet of Jesus. Inject into them God's blessing and love, God's grace and peace. And pray that prayer that only a mother knows how to pray. Because that mother never stops. That mother keeps praying. Maybe your son has grown and you're old and you're in the older years and he's grown and living away and he's not walking with God or that son, that daughter, grandson. God has a mission for you. Because he loves them. He died on the cross for them. And the mission is that you have a heart for them like nobody else. And he wants you to pray for them. Because his desire is that they would get saved. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of God. Never stop. Keep praying. For you mothers whom God has blessed, take a step back today. The blessing that God has given you. Follow this blessed mother's example. Give thanks to God for all that he's done for you and for those that you love. And do that today. John 6:37 says, "All that the Father gives me," Jesus says, "will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." It's fascinating in the verse, both Mark and Matthew tell us that after the woman ran home, that Jesus then left that area and returned to Galilee. God is concerned for your home, mums. He hears when you get up in the wee hours of the morning and you pray prayers that don't have words. You pray prayers that are just silent groans over situations, husbands, sons, daughters, grandchildren. And no one else in the world knows that you're praying. But God hears every prayer of every mother. And he answers every prayer of every mother. To all the mums today, we wish, not worship you, but we thank you. Praise your role for the role of being a mum. But also, don't stop. And you won't, because you're a mum. Everyone else may cut the cord. Everyone else may, no, he's no good, she's no good. But you won't, because you're the mum. And you're connected. And God wants to move through you. Be that one who says, "Lord, help me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for your great grace and mercy, we thank you and praise you. We pray for every mum and every grandma, Lord. Even tonight through this week, they'll again be up alone, whispering, weeping, and doing that which only mums do. Bless them, Lord. Minister to them. Strengthen.